Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. What a beautiful song by the Booth Brothers, reminding us that we're to build our lives upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Well, we're now into camp meeting season, and I'll be conducting camp meetings during the summer of 2024. But finishing up the month of May and beginning the month of June in a revival meeting at the First General Baptist Church in Princeton, Indiana, this first weekend of the month of June. We started on Friday and finishing up on Sunday morning, the 2nd of June. And then I'll travel to near Knoxville, Tennessee, to the East Tennessee District Camp Meeting. I'll be there June 5 to 9. And then my home camp, the camp where I grew up in North Carolina, Camp Wesley. That's near China Grove, North Carolina, June 13 to 23. Looking forward to going there, seeing family and friends from years past. I remember going there as a child with my father when he was one of the preachers, and had the privilege of preaching there with my dad before his home going back in the early 90s. Again, thanks so much for joining us today, and I hope the message and the music will be a blessing to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience. Thank you for those who listen on a regular basis, as well as those who might just tune in and not realize what they're listening to. And I thank you that from time to time, people do come across the program, Father, and they hear it and they're blessed by it, and then we hear from them. And that's a blessing to us, and I thank you for that. I pray that you would just continue to meet the need of the radio program and bless our listening audience, those especially who are sick and shut in and need a special physical touch. Be with those also who have spiritual needs. I pray that their needs would be met today. Again, thank you, Father, for your goodness in our lives. We commit this sermon, this radio program, to you, Father. Thank you so much for your blessings. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be sharing a message over the next couple of weeks that I preached at Charity Baptist Church on Mother's Day. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. Don't forget to write to me. I do need to hear from you so we can stay on your radio station. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give electronically there.
Tear after tear has fallen from your eyes. Life has been unfair to you. Words cannot explain the hurt deep inside. Your heart is broken in two. Oh, but I have a friend who bends broken hearts. At his feet you will find the soul's healing balm. He will bind every and remove every scar. I have a friend who mends broken hearts. You see, his heart too was broken as he walked on this earth. He tasted life's grief and life's pain. Oh, but now he is a heart physician. No matter your condition, his healing power is flowing in this place. Yes, I have a friend who mends broken hearts. At his feet you will find the soul's healing balm. He will bind every wound and remove every scar. I have a friend who mends broken heart. He will bind every wound and remove every scar. I have a friend who mends broken heart. I have
Is there anyone here, since beginning your journey with Christ, who has never been hurt, who has never been disappointed, felt you were inadequate, even thought you missed it, and maybe this following Jesus thing is not all it was cut out to be, and you failed so miserably so many times, then what's the use of it? I might as well throw up my hands and quit. Is there anyone in the place tonight who has never felt some of that? Go with me in your imagination this morning to a post-resurrection event in the life of Jesus and seven of his disciples. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. I begin the reading with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we will also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, that would be John, by the way, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits. That's about 100 yards. Dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring in the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all that were so many, yet it was not broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto them, feed my sheep. To put this passage in a contemporary context, try and imagine this. Imagine that a high-profile ministry leader has spoken in a large assembly hall one day. The populace of the city comes and they pack the place out. It's full. They're listening to this great renowned preacher. They welcome him in a pre-rally parade to that gathering place. But then he dies. He's dead. And to add to the shock of his passing, two of his prominent team members, they fail him. They betray him. And one of the two becomes so despondent over his failure that he goes out and commits suicide. The other is so despondent over his failure and his inability to right the wrong that he has committed that he decides to resign from the organization and return to his former career. Imagine that. That is a contemporary view of what has happened in the days preceding John 21 that we read in your hearing just a moment ago. Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. The crowd go out to meet him, and they're waving palm branches, saying, "Hosanna to the King." The people are just amazed that Jesus is now there. He's been ministering all over that locale, and now he has come to Jerusalem, and he's going to be speaking to them personally. And they gather to listen to what he has to say. But then, to their utter dismay, Jesus is arrested. And then he's put through a mock trial. And then he is crucified. And then he is put into a grave. Judas has betrayed him. And he cannot live with that. And he goes out and commits suicide. Peter, after telling Jesus that he's going to go to the dungeon for him, he'd even die for him, denies knowing him three times. And so he decides to return doing what he was doing before Jesus ever came into his life. Now do you understand the three words in the beginning of John chapter 21? After these things. That is what has happened. Could it be that John in chapter 21, beginning with verse 1 through verse 17, could it be that he is recreating scenes, events, already experienced by these disciples, and in particular Peter? Could it be that Jesus is doing this for a reason? When you study John 21, could it be that Jesus is trying to draw Peter and, yes, the other disciples back to the place before they'd ever gone back to fishing? Here's the proposition for your consideration this morning. All of us, without exception, are in the process of being healed from something. You think about that. It may have happened 30 years ago, but you're still in the process of being healed from that. It may have happened this week, but we're all in the process of being healed from something. Regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, whether or not you just began, or you're somewhere in the middle, or you're toward the end when you're going to meet Jesus in the very near future, Christ in this story in John 21 is trying to reveal to Peter and these other disciples that even though they have failed and they have gone back out to doing what they were doing before they ever met Jesus, that they can be restored. If a poll was taken to determine the most read and oft-quoted passage of Scripture in the Bible, I think I know what the poll would reveal. The 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm has been quoted probably more times than any other passage in the Bible by non-Christians as well as Christians. And we know that Psalm. How does it start? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then, of course, we like that part of Psalm 23 that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We love that part of Psalm 23. But tucked in Psalm 23, I think, is perhaps one of the most wonderful phrases that you'll find in the passage. "He restoreth my soul." He restoreth my soul. And each of these scenes recreated by Jesus in John chapter 21 reveals to us the beauty of Jesus' desire to heal and restore. Soul restoration. By my count, there are three scenes that he recreates. Let's look at scene number one. And in looking at scene number one, we see these disciples, they are catching fish. And he wants to bring them back to that initial encounter that he had with these disciples. He's reminding them of their call to follow him. Could it be that Peter in particular is feeling disqualified? "I can no longer be a follower of his. Look how I failed him." I can no longer be a minister. He's called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I can't do that now after I fail him. The marvel of Scripture is that it doesn't omit the gritty realities of life. We see the human element revealed in the lives of these disciples. We see what they're thinking, because what they were expecting didn't really happen. Jesus was supposed to be the king. He was supposed to take over. That's alluded at time and time again in the Scripture, that Jesus would indeed, he would come in and he would knock the Romans off the throne, and he would take the throne, and he would become the king and give them back what they rightly deserved. But that did not happen. Discouragement is the order of the day for these disciples, and Peter in particular. They're confused. They're scared. Their leader, oh yeah, he arose from the grave, but he's nowhere to be found. He's popped into a downtown motel room a couple of times and then disappeared again. Where is he? What's going on here? We don't get this. What are we going to do now? Nothing is working. It's not happening the way we thought it was supposed to happen. Have you ever had those times when it seemed like every doorknob you got hold of fell off in your hand? And nothing was working. It just wasn't going right. I know what it's like to be blindsided. We Christians and those of us in the ministry, we're not exempt from those kinds of things happening. When you wonder, what am I going to do next? I was contemplating going back into evangelism in the year 2010. I felt like the Lord was drawing me back to do what I'm doing here today. I was serving a church, and I remember meeting with the leadership of the church, asking how can I transition back into evangelism in the context of this particular church. And I remember telling them, I want to do it in about 3 or 4 months. I want to do it the first of the year, and because I've got to build my slate of meetings. And I remember that church leader looking at me and said, well, it needs to be sooner. As a matter of fact, it needs to be within 30 days. I was taken aback. I didn't know what to do. I walked away from that meeting wondering, what am I going to do? I'm not going to have a place to live. I lived in a parsonage. Where am I going to preach? I couldn't book a slate of meetings in 30 days. What's going to happen to me? I can remember walking out of that parsonage, and I just began to talk to the Lord. I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? You ever felt that way? What am I supposed to do now? How am I going to manage this? How am I going to pay my bills? I couldn't figure it out. I went to a couple of funeral home owners. I said, you got a job you can give me working at the funeral home? I thought about substitute teaching at the local school corporation. Didn't know what I was going to do. And I remember that God was in the business of being faithful. God is the one who can come and he can give clarity and he can give direction. And over the past 13 years since 2011, I've not wondered one time what I'm going to do. He's always been faithful, and I'm thankful for that. But I look at these seven disciples, Peter, and these six disciples. They go back to their roots, back to being professional fishermen. These are tough men. Fishermen of that day, they were tough men. They were not sport fishing. They were making a living, and they toiled all night long. We read the story. They toiled all night long. The sun now is just breaking over the nearby horizon. As I said, they're about 100 yards offshore. And then a voice echoes through the early morning hour asking a question. Have you caught anything? The response very quickly. No. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. The Scripture does not tell us why they did that. Again. How many times have they done that all night long? The Bible doesn't say, well, they thought, well, we ought to do it one more time. It doesn't say that. They just did it. They cast the net on the right side of the boat. And this time, the net is bulging with fish, 153, by count. Approximately 3 years earlier, something similar happened in the lives of these disciples. And so here we see them by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out with them. They were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said, or finished speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let out your nets for a draught. And then Simon answering him said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, we've taken nothing. Nonetheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish that had been taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.